Hey, you guys, real quick announcement. I have good news. We have a live podcast recording coming up on Wednesday, July 31st, 2013 at the legendary Antones in Austin, Texas. Doors are at 7 and the conversation starts at 7:30. Cool thing is, I will be talking to these bands and then the bands will be playing afterwards. The bands are Western Youth, Christy Hayes, and then the Lovelies. So, I'd like to thank my friend Aaron Blackerby for putting the whole thing together. Wednesday, July 31st, 2013, Antones, Austin, Texas, 7 p.m. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
Hello. All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you today. My friend, my new friend, who I didn't know before this show, symphonic percussionist and drummer Ian Fry is here, and we have a great conversation. It's fantastic, but we're going to get to that after this. These messages from Johnny. Look, I had a great weekend. Friday, I went out, had a nice time with some friends, and saw my friend Jake Flores do some stand-up, and that was fantastic, and a couple of other people. Had a great night, and then Saturday went to Houston with Skyrocket. We played a show at Rockefeller Hall. Fantastic show, sold out. Amazing audience. Fantastic energy the whole night. And yeah, it was fantastic. So came back yesterday, and my friend Joe Hummel, who you might remember was the drummer of Liars and Saints, the band I'm you know, we have together. It's kind of dormant right now, but he's starting this new internet show, and so last night he was going to film the pilot, and it kind of revolves around a party. A person plays a song, but first tells a story about it, and then he'll release the episodes on the thing. And basically there's a party at his house. He's got a cool little setup with like tape machines and stuff hanging out and everything. So what happened for the initial shooting was, since it was the first time and everyone was kind of getting it together, it got started a little bit late. And I think I went on like around midnight or something. It was crazy. And anyway, it was a totally amazing time. But I had a lot to drink. And so my radiator has gone out. And I can't get my car until tomorrow, but I was at Joe's, and this really nice girl asked me if I could walk her to her car. I ended up walking her to her car, and then I just walked home, because he lives close to me, but I just couldn't go back in the party. It was starting to get a little over the top. It was great. And then I also think they were out of tequila, so I thought it was probably time for me to come home. All right. My guest today is Ian Fry. He's a symphonic percussionist and drummer. He lives here in Austin. He's a sub for the symphony. And he actually came to me through a friend of mine, old friend of mine. He's been on the show, P. Kellick Waddle. I call him Kel. He told me that they're doing a show together. Kel is a composer, and he's the bass player for the symphony. And he composed some music for symphonic percussion. And it'll be at the Blackerby Violin Shop Recital Hall this coming Sunday. July 28th at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You should get it together and go down there. Find out what's going on. Anyway, Ian went to the prestigious Eastman School in Rochester, New York. You know, it's a hard school to get into, and he learned a lot. He went through a lot. He played in a lot of bands. He played punk music. He's played all different kinds of music, studied tabla, gone to Montreal, studied tabla. He's played jazz, all kinds of stuff. He currently plays in Mrs. Glass and a few other projects, but mostly Mrs. Glass a couple times a week here in Austin. If you're around, they're a great band. Actually, we're going to hear some music from them right now. So without further ado, let me introduce you to my new friend, the fresh-faced Ian Fry.
Thank you.
I listened to your music, I heard there was a song on the more rock, or, you know, more kind of poppy rock stuff that you sent that was amazing. It sounded almost like a Black Keys kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Was it the Mrs. Glass stuff?
Yeah, yeah. What's going on with that? What's Mrs. Glass?
Mrs. Glass is the front man to the band.
Okay.
And we're like his backup man. We got me on drums and vocals and percussion.
Okay.
And then Yvonne Evangelista on the bass, keyboards, vocals, and he produces the whole thing.
Okay. So how much do you guys play?
We play at least... We have been doing twice a week.
Okay.
For the last year and a half or so. Tuesdays at the White Horse.
Oh, that's
then,
awesome.
Yeah, and then Thursdays at the Black Heart. And we're going to... Starting next month, we're going to give up the White Horse Tuesday gig so that we can hopefully do some more weekend gigs at the White Horse.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because yeah. I was going to say, that's such a popular place. It seems like it would be weird to not... I mean, because it's kind of like the... It's the place.
It is. We've been doing it, you know, since they opened up, and we kind of want to, I guess, start being a little more exclusive since we're already playing like twice a week. So we're starting to play a little more at places like the Saxon Pub and other places around town. And
how do you like it? Because there's definitely a division and a vibe division of that sort of corner on East 6th and like the Saxon Pub. It's a very different.
Oh yeah.
I play all places. Like I don't care.
Yeah.
But people do have like a mindset, you know. I don't think those guys that hang out at Saxon Pub even know what the White Horse is.
Probably.
And I don't mean that bad.
No, right, right.
Well, like if you told David Cotton, like, hey, I'm going to the White Horse, I don't even know what that is. That's what he'd say.
How many years have you been here?
I lived here when I was a teenager in the 80s, like 84 and 85, and I knew a lot of the same people I know now, but I moved here in like 1991.
So this is only like my fourth year here, so I'm still pretty new. I mean, I know that the Sax Pub is like a really, I like the vibe a lot, you know?
Sure. But you're not going to see Bob Schneider playing at the White Horse.
No, I don't think so. I mean...
I don't know why, but you're not going to.
Right. I mean, I've heard back in the day, you know, at the White Horse, people like Willie played there and stuff like that. I've heard.
I thought that place was brand new.
Oh, it is, like, but it used to be like a Tejano club. And then before that, I think it was, you know, around for a little bit. But I'm not 100%. I know it's been around for a second.
Yeah. So where are you from?
I'm from California.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
were you born?
Yeah.
Where? What?
Born in Oceanside, you know, like south near San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And then moved up to like Ventura, L.A. County.
How's line. That?
It was good. I liked it a lot.
How long did you live in Oceanside?
I was only like 2 years. And then I moved up with, you know, my family when I was like two or whatever. And then I got out.
You didn't do the thing where you put the handkerchief full of your stuff on the stick and walk down the street. I'm going.
That would have been amazing at that age. But, you know, once I hit like, you know, 18, I got out of there, went to New York, which was a really good move, I think.
Yeah. Is that you went to school for? You went to Rochester?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend from there.
Okay.
Yeah. She was very pretty. She still is. I talked to her.
Nice.
In fact, she's a nice person. She's an opera singer. And I guess jazz singer too. What is that? Is that you learn classical and jazz?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back. When you went to Ventura, how did you get into music? Do you come from like a music family, or did someone make you play an instrument?
My mom was like a, you know, flute player, flute teacher. And then once it was like fourth grade time and it was time to, you know, sign up for the band, she's like, you should do this. And I was like, I'll play the drums.
Right.
So then it was kind of on.
And so then. What kind, because you when you go to a place like Eastman, you're not like learning anything about John Bonham there, are you?
Not from the teachers.
No. So what? How did the classical? Because you also play percussion too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You play like vibes and stuff. You play all of the
pretty
symphonic
much everything
percussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how you play. What do you play in the symphony here?
I'm a substitute for them. So anything they need, you know, a lot
name
of,
some instruments.
A lot of bass drum, a lot of concert okay. bass drum, cymbals, okay. triangle, castanets, tambourine, all the good auxiliary stuff.
That's awesome.
Triangle, I think triangle. I did a couple shows with them doing like the music of Zelda, and I got to play some snare drum on that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and marimba and xylophone and bells.
So you have amazing reading skills, obviously.
I'm trying to get better.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never be as good as the pianists out there.
Right.
You know.
So what, when your mom, did you signed up for band and you decided on drums, why? Was there a guy that you liked or a band or something? Or, I want to be like this? Or you just, that made noise and looked fun?
I think it looked like the best. I mean, I couldn't think of doing anything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was pretty young at that point, so. I was like 8.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you've been playing for pretty much your whole life. Well, when you got into it, did you just kind of like, did you get into it and like practice on your own and do it when no one told you to because it was so fun and you had this magical attraction?
I mean, in the beginning, all I had was a practice pad, so it wasn't like...
That's not fun.
It's not that fun. I mean, I definitely practiced.
Yeah?
I remember I took like a year to start learning rolls and stuff like that, you know?
Wow.
But then I think I got a snare drum for Christmas, you know? Yeah. Pretty psyched about that. Even though it's just snare drum, you know?
Yeah.
And then a couple years went by, and that's when I started drum set lessons.
Okay.
And fell in love with the drum set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the music, what did you want to do? Were you like, I want to do this with my life, or I just enjoy playing drums and I want to be a fireman?
No, once I was like, 12, I remember thinking I need to do this, you know? Because I started taking lessons with some, you know, pretty badass teachers or whatever. They were just like teaching me the right way to do it, and I was like, this is awesome.
Wow.
So
like traditional grip and things like that?
Do traditional until like marching band in high school.
Okay.
You know, but it was like learning marimba.
Okay.
Learning like classical repertoire, like violin solos and stuff on the marimba. And wow. it was awesome.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So then you got in marching band. Were you ever in a rock band? Were you in rock bands and stuff then?
Yeah, definitely.
What kind of bands?
Like punk rock. You know, I think one of the like second bands I was in was with Jason Richter. He's the guy in Free Willy, you know? He's the kid in Free Willy.
I never saw Free Willy, but okay. I know the kid just because he's the poster. He's
right,
like this,
right.
And the guy's flying over him.
Yeah, and Free Willy 2 and 3.
And he was in a punk rock band?
Yeah, well, that was more
what
like...
What a balanced life he had, like a total sellout and a total punk. You know what I mean?
I mean,
nothing bad about
right,
it. It's his
right,
work.
Right.
But in the punk world, people would see the dude as Free Willy as like a total sellout.
I mean, he was, I think, you know... teenager still, so yeah. I mean, I don't know if I didn't see him as a sellout. He's just a cool kid, you know.
Yeah.
And that was more like rocky poppy kind of funky okay. fusiony. I think the band was called
okay
Cold Fusion, is, you know.
No way.
Yeah.
What was the first band called?
Trace.
That's good though.
And that guy now plays bass with AWOL Nation. He the guy in my first band.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My stepmom's always telling me that her friend's kid plays in that band.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder which one.
I don't know. I don't even know her friend's name, but she's always okay. like, oh.
Yeah, but
you
that
know,
was...
Like, you know, like a mom kind of like, oh, you know, he plays with a very popular band that was on Leno. Right. Like that kind of thing, yeah.
Right.
So anyway, so sorry. So you, well, is this Southern California? There's like rock and roll stars and like famous movie star people.
Yeah, like... definitely.
Did you ever do acting? Because you have a fresh face.
Okay.
You do. You have a...
Man, that's a compliment.
That's
that's nice.
You have a fresh
face. That's nice of you.
I have a very tired face.
I don't think so. I think you have a fresh face.
Thanks. Okay, this is not normally how they go. You have a solid beard. Fresh face, solid beard.
Okay.
You didn't cry. What was the third band name?
Third band.
I like that, Cold Fusion.
Yeah.
You played Fusion. That's so awesome. Just in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah. Okay, third band. Oh, man.
So you played all kinds of music, basically.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you don't really like judge. You're not like a jazz guy that's like, oh, this is stupid, or a classical guy that's like, oh, this is terrible.
No, I mean, I don't like, you know, bad music, of course. Yeah. But I don't judge. I mean, I like bad music too, you know, if it's like not pretentious. I mean,
sure.
Pretentious, that's a silly word. I mean, I just heard a quote from I always drop out names, but
someone famous.
Oh yeah, Brian Eno. Brian Eno. Okay. He was saying,
it's just an asshole quote.
Someone's like, "Oh, you're so pretentious," whatever. He's like, "Pretentious? I mean, that's like, this is art, right? We're like all pretending.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm supposed to be, you know."
That's true.
But no, I mean, I love like man, what's that group of the sisters back in like the 70s or whatever?
Heart.
Like, no, like really rough music, really rough around the edges.
The Runaways?
No, like, oh man.
I don't know.
It's okay. I'll remember.
Okay. So, in high school, what were you listening to?
Oh, like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
And Primus.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, Pearl Jam was on the other side of the mixtape.
Yeah.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, Beastie Boys, which I still only listen to now lately.
The Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great band, and now that they're done, you can just go back and see this fucking immense growth, like between every time they made a record.
Yeah.
They redefined themselves and challenged themselves in a way that most people just don't do.
Yeah.
And it's appealing. And I don't mean this bad because I love Radiohead, but it's like Radiohead just became like weirder and weirder to where now it's like, you know what I mean? It's like no longer, you're like, I don't know where you're going.
Right.
You lost me a couple years ago. So you were listening to that stuff and you were playing in bands. And so at the end of high school, you wanted to, did you get like a scholarship? Were you like a genius guy?
No, I mean, No scholarship. No. There might have been a very small scholarship.
Okay.
But I had to work really hard just to get accepted to Eastman, you know, like practicing a bunch.
Yeah.
5 hours.
What's the audition for something like that? Like, how hard is that to get into?
It's hard.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was really hard. I mean, I had to start, I think, prepping, you know, for years in advance. And the year before I had the audition, I went to, like, their summer camp. So I could meet the teacher and like play for him and say, hey, what kind of repertoire do I need to get into this play? So he's like, you need this. You need a harder piece to work on to make it in here. So then the audition.
I'm sorry, you just said you need a harder piece to make it in here.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, so you needed to have a more difficult piece of music.
Yeah.
And so you did it.
Yeah.
And, so, and I mean, was it, were you worried? I mean, was it like a stressful time? You really wanted to go there. You wanted to get out.
Yeah.
Did you have a good relationship with your parents or?
Absolutely. Yeah? I could tell that the West Coast vibe wasn't what I wanted.
That's interesting.
I mean, big thing was that there's just like, there's waves to surf. There's like all these things to do. And on the East Coast, you know, you don't have those things to do.
No, you can get into your thing.
Yeah, I needed that, you know. And I didn't want to go to, you know, New York City right away. I didn't want to go to Rochester where I was just, you know, you're stuck in a practice room.
Yeah.
So that worked out for me.
Good. So when you went in and you were there 4 years or something?
Mm-hmm.
And when you graduated, what did you do? Were you playing in bands and stuff during that time too?
Yeah.
Did you do rock?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's a tough balance. Did anybody like look down on it there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. That's cool. I remember like, yeah, I mean, you know, I was you know, in the classical and jazz areas, and we would also, you know, in order to like really learn how to play music, we would be playing outside of school, like on the streets or in clubs or whatever, even just to improvise, you know, make up music or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, there's a lot of different people would look down on some of the things we did.
Sure.
Musically.
Sure, because, you know, they're, I mean, yeah.
I mean, we'd put on, like, like cover music stuff, like play like Motown stuff and all that stuff. And I remember the classical people, some of them have been like, this is lame. Why are they doing this music or whatever?
Wow.
But, you know, you need to do that. You need to hash it all out, you know?
Yeah. What's Rochester like as a town, Rochester?
I don't know. I mean, it. I liked it a lot. It's kind of, I don't know what to say about that. It's a.
I mean, it's a small town. It's a good town. There's
it,
a
I mean,
fun
it used to be
there.
A huge town, you know, because of like Eastman Kodak, the and Xerox is there too.
Right.
But then they like had to lay off a bunch of people.
Okay, so there's a little sadness.
I think there's a lot of sadness there, but it's still a really nice vibe.
That's good.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it had like a vibe of like Athens or something like that. You know what I mean? I've always kind of pictured it having that kind of vibe.
I've never been there. You're talking about Italy, right?
No, Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Never
just
been
like
there
cool
either.
Cool little small town, you know, college town.
Okay.
Fun times.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a town. It's more of a city, you know?
Okay.
So, but it's got that like depraved city kind of vibe.
Right.
But that's not to say anything bad about Rochester.
Of course not.
It's amazing there.
You wouldn't believe that almost every listener that listens to this show is from Rochester. Then you moved to New York City?
Went to Iowa and then
New York
City.
Oh, yeah, I saw
that
you think, like, I've lived in New York City, California, and Iowa. That's good. So what do you, why did you go to Iowa?
Just, like, get a quick master's degree. And like
pick up a quick master's?
Yeah. I didn't want to do a long master's, you know. No, but that was, you know, that was to kind of like decompress from the intensity of the conservatory.
Yeah.
So I could like chill out, not really practice as much at all.
What did you get your master's in?
It was a Master of Arts.
Okay.
Technically, you know.
Yeah.
But Vedic science was the area.
What's it called?
Vedic science?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm still finding out what it means. It's kind of like the Vedas, you know, like the super old like texts from India, like precursor to like Hinduism and all that stuff. So it's basically we studied like the science of consciousness, as it were, and all the different areas as it pertains to the Vedas. So like learning about the different the different books within the Vedas, and it's a
how do you get interested in that? I mean, how do you even like, I've never even heard of any of this stuff you're telling me, and you got a master's in it.
How
did you like, well, you were like, I gotta get my Veda
science. Well, I learned how to meditate, like transcendental meditation, and that's kind of where that stuff comes from. And it was like, oh, there's this school where you meditate every day with everyone else. And you kind of like do that whole vibe.
What kind of religion did you grow up in? None.
Yeah.
Just freestyle.
Yeah.
You didn't go to church or anything. No one.
I mean, my parents, I think, took us to church every once in a while. But
Christmas. What was the denomination?
Like Episcopal.
Okay.
But my dad was more of like a atheist, agnostic, whatever. I think.
And what did they do? What are your parents? Your mom was a flute teacher. What did your dad do?
He was a salesman for a scientific company.
Okay, so smart people.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't just go around. Then you probably knew about Vedic science.
Only once I was into Eastman and like had met some people who knew about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you do with, I mean, like get a master's in that. What do you do with that? Like did you just want to have a master's? You wanted to learn more about it? Or was it like, oh, I'll have this Vedic science master's and I'll be able to do this?
Yeah, not like that. It wasn't like, this is specifically what I'm going to do with it. It's more of like, this is prepping me for what I'm going to do later in life. It's kind of like talking about, it's kind of like.
You're an interesting guy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more of like, you know.
I don't put any thought into anything. I just go around willy-nilly.
Well, that's it.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
I think so.
Well, you know. Look like you, I mean, I don't even know what Vedic science, I don't go like, oh, you know what, this is going to help me later.
Well, it talks about a lot about, it's kind of like, you know, prepping your cognitive, like, functioning, like, the way that you're going to go about life.
Right.
Kind of like, I mean, yeah, it's good, it's really good to just, like, obviously be in the
moment yeah.
And, like, go where you're going, but it's also the kind of the direction you go and the intention that you have and the way you carry out that intention, kind of like having the intention, letting it go, so you're not super attached to the mechanics of it, like, unfolding. So if you have, like...
So you're not, like, totally disappointed and, like, is that what you're saying? Like, say you don't have unreasonable expectations of things.
No, I mean, you can have, like, unreasonable expectations, but it's, like, you're not really attached to the exact way that it's, like, unfolds. And, because, you know, I mean, you never know which paths are going to open up for you. No. So it's, like, you know, it's not like a, you don't want to have, like, a lazy aspect to your life, but you also want to be kind of focused yet really at home in the moment, so that
in essence kind of using the force,
definitely,
like feeling your way, what, you know. Yeah
definitely. Okay, so
wow, I know that's a lot of stuff. So what was living in Iowa like after that? I mean, was that great?
It was great.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole time I was like, I need to go to New York City, but I was also like, I need to be here now. You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of that push and pull.
Yeah.
So that's why I felt really good about chilling out there. Kind of literally, like, not practicing. I feel like I got a lot better by actually not practicing, interestingly enough.
Right. So because then you got to step back away from it. You were so in it.
Yeah.
You know, for so long that, yeah, I understand that.
And in a musical goal the whole time was to get into, like, tabla and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, it's part of the Vedic knowledge too, like, okay, the Indian classical music.
And the tabla, that's, I mean, you can't just fuck around and just play tabla. Like, those guys, they don't even get to play anywhere until they're like 50,
yeah,
or something,
right?
And they come, it's like a family job.
Definitely. So I studied with one of the best, like, tabla gurus, yeah, from the Banaras tradition, which is like the Varanasi Banaras, like, family.
Yeah.
And and he was you know, he was amazing. And he wasn't in Iowa. I got to go to, like, Montreal to do, like, a workshop with him and stuff like that. But still, he gives you, like, a lot of knowledge and stuff like that. And I knew I was never going to be, like, good at tabla.
Yeah.
But it was more like learning the rhythms and the compositions really helped transfer to, like, playing drum set and playing and improvising and stuff like that.
Sure.
Using, like, larger forms.
Yeah.
Rhythmically.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like, man, this is a great, you know, I was just thinking, do you know who Ian Moore is?
No, he's feel like I should.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's going to love this episode. I'm going to tell him about it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm not that.
He's kind of like you. He thinks a lot.
Oh, cool.
He's smart.
Oh, thank you.
So, so you did the studying in Montreal and then you went to New York?
Yeah.
And when you went to New York, what did you do? How did you live when you went there? Because that's the first hurdle.
Yeah,
is like existing.
I had you know, my first teacher who I started studying with, he went to Eastman and then he went to New York City.
Okay.
After, you know, doing a bunch of studies and stuff, so I ended up living in his group's like practice space.
Okay.
For the first several months, which was awesome. You know, got to do gigs with them, and they're like one of the best, like, contemporary classical percussion groups.
Okay.
They're called So Percussion, which I'm sure a lot of people know. And, you know, so I got to play gigs with them.
What year was that you moved there?
2006.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, man, how do you do that? Like, that just seems, I never run into classical percussion groups. Like, I didn't even know that there was guys that have classical percussion. Like, how do you, I mean, is there a demand in any way that is an actual...
They're, you know, started kind of...
You were saying you played gigs. Were they, like, private gigs, or did you guys have a thing? Or
no, what like, I started playing with them when I was in Eastman. It called me up, like, to do, like, the music of Steve Reich in New York City, like, the Miller Theater it was
okay.
First. And we did, like, drumming. I also did music for 18. I played the maracas on the four organs part with them, and... Okay. You know, like, a lot of the Steve Reich stuff.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, cool. He's an awesome composer. You should check out all those pieces, like drumming.
Okay.
Music for 18, a lot of other cool stuff.
Yeah, but, you're opening my mind.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel embarrassed now. I don't know Steve Reich, but
no.
I can tell you that Skrillex just got a haircut a couple weeks ago.
Really?
I don't know. So where did you, so you made a living doing that, or did you have a job? That's what I'm saying. How did you live when you were there?
I did live off of doing gigs.
That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, was lucky to do that. I mean, I had to do a lot of different gigs.
Sure.
You know,
you were on the hustle. Were you doing like different kind of like, different kinds of music, not just stuff? What were you doing?
I played with a couple different bands, like drum set, like Andy Friedman and the Other Failures. That was an artist for the New Yorker magazine. And he had his own side, like kind of rockabilly, like,
cool
art country group. And that was awesome because he like just picked up guitar, started learning it. And within a year, or even less probably, like, came up with his own band, so I really liked his vibe.
Yeah,
you know, and we got to tour all around the country. Actually,
oh, that's great.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And what else did you do?
Let's see. I played like for kids. You know, like there was a lady who had like a children's like kind of class at her school.
Yeah,
on the Upper East Side, and you know, that was a gig. Did some recording sessions here and there.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So how long were you in New York?
Like almost 2 years. It was like, I think around a year and a half or something like that.
And so why did you move? And where did you move?
I went back to California for like a little bit. Had a girlfriend. So I kind of, felt like I wanted to try out California.
Wait, so you had a girlfriend in New York?
California.
In California.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or kind of like...
the whole time?
No, like kind of... I went back every once in a while.
Yeah.
Kind of wanted to make that happen. Felt like that was a good idea to go back to California.
Wow.
You know. And that ended up taking me... I met some people who I'd already met in New York, who then I met more people in California, that we went to Montreal to play the Montreal Jazz Fest. Mm-hmm. Was there for a summer. And that led me to like working with another man named Naz. Name's Clive Phillips from Trinidad. But he's like an amazing like calypsonian. Back in the day he played with Mighty Sparrow and like Philip Glass, who's
I know Philip Glass.
Yeah
Thank you.
Yeah
Finally,
there you go.
I'm looking at you like a dog that you're showing a card trick to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So then I worked with him and then went back to Iowa kind of to help him make a music video of his music, and learned a lot from him because he was like a bass player, piano player, steel pan, percussionist. So I got to hang with him and learn so much from him.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
And so what happened with the girl?
Didn't work out.
It didn't. What was her? Was she part of the group, the music group?
Yeah. And no, like it was a weird vibe because I don't know, like, anytime you walk in, because I was walking in to this band that was somewhat popular in Canada, right? And like they'd had their thing going on for a while, and I kind of walked in, you know, younger than everyone else, so I kind of had, you know, all this stuff to prove in their eyes, you know what I mean? So then we were there, and she was singing on, you know, Naz's track that we were playing with them. And they gave her a lot of shit, just being like, can I say that? Yeah, I can say that.
Right? Oh, yeah, go ahead, all day long.
Whatever.
Say it again.
Shit.
Yeah. So go ahead. So they're giving her shit. This is
giving her shit.
Because of you guys? Because of...
Man.
It can be pretty fucked up being a girl in music. I mean, right. It really can. I talk to a lot of people that make it that way. I play with a lot of girls, and... you know, I hate hearing the, for a girl, you know. Someone just said that to me yesterday. Oh, she's a great guitar player. And I mean, not even just for a girl. She's like, you're just like, why can't someone just be a good guitar player? Why is that, you know, it's not like basketball or something that you have to prove yourself physically, right? Where like, obviously a dude's going to be taller and meaner, you know.
Well, I mean, all like the girls like in a lot of groups or in that group, kind of have to be like diva-esque where they're just like barreling down everyone else. So there was like definitely like this territorialism thing going on when she was coming in just singing with the group, started singing like background, started singing on, you know, all NASA stuff, and people just were, you know, some of the people
mean.
Yeah, there was definitely
jealousy. They did threatened.
That's part of it? There was definitely, yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah.
Well, I hope she didn't get discouraged.
I don't think she's one to be discouraged. Okay. I mean,
so then you guys split up, and what did you do?
I came to Austin.
Oh yeah,
so I'm here now. So now we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, what did you, you came here, how did you know people here?
Knew one person, and that turned out to be, you know, a raw deal.
Oh yeah. You know? Was it a moving in with someone situation?
It was like for a job sort of thing well. And he's a friend that I'd met in New York, and he was like, you know, come down, you know, can help me put up this coffee cart stand.
Oh, okay.
In Austin, you know, and he turned out to be a crazy person, so I had to get out of there, and then I found my own place.
Yeah,
I found another place.
Yeah,
I moved like 5 times in the last year.
Oh no.
Yeah, but
so. Well, that's I'm sorry.
No.
Do you have a lot of stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you would have tons of shit. I mean, I have tons of shit, and I don't even have
drums. I got like timpani now. And marimba, God. And like a couple drum sets, and a Rhodes, 73 key Rhodes.
Nice. I got that 54, and I won't let go of it because I don't know why.
Well, it's the shit.
Yeah, it's not too big.
Yeah, I mean.
Those other ones, ugh.
It's a big one.
When I got this one, I thought I was going to use it on tour, and we put it in a trailer and went to see America, and we pulled it out the first night, and our tour manager and guitar and tech were like, are you going to use this for more than one song? Like, no. They were like, we're not taking this fucking thing out of here. So I just played guitar on the song instead.
I remember taking a Rhodes like to a gig. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah, I'm in this band Skyrocket. When I first started playing, I was like, hey, I have a Rhodes, because they play like 70s music. And yeah. I was like, all these songs have Rhodes. I took it to one gig and I was like, I'm not fucking schlepping that thing anywhere.
It was the worst trying to carry that thing. Yeah. Should never be on gigs. I mean, if you're making like $1,000 a gig, maybe, but like.
Yeah, you know what's weird? Do you ever go see Ian McLaughlin?
No.
You know who he is? He's a keyboard player from The Faces and The Rolling Stones.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I don't know.
No, it's cool. I mean, we have some different worlds.
Yeah.
And I think I'm older than you a lot.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's sometimes I just kind of don't try to remember names.
Right. Well, you'd like this guy if you saw him, but what I was going to say is he goes to Lucky Lounge. He plays Lucky Lounge on Thursdays, and it's like a happy hour. And I always think it's so weird that he brings this giant fucking B3 and giant Leslie, but then the Wurlitzer stuff he plays on a Nord. It's like, it's so weird. I would play the organ stuff on the Nord and bring a...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Some people need that sound, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess you need all the drawbars and everything. He plays the shit out of it.
And the you know.
Yeah.
Leslie, right?
Yep. Yeah. You got to have it. I mean, I play fake keyboards in my band through a computer that has the sounds in it.
Right.
It's the best. I mean, look, it's a cover band. I'm not trying to prove to anyone how much shit I have.
Right.
You know.
There's this band. Who is it? I can't remember the name. But they play at the White Horse. And... He takes his Nord and puts it in like a shell, and it sounds.
His name is Cullen Fuchs.
Okay.
He also plays trumpet.
Yeah, you know.
He's a good friend of mine. We toured with Ian Moore together. The guy who's gonna like this.
He's so badass. I was like, that is an amazing sound. That's got to be some old thing. And then you know, Yvonne, he went up to him and was like, oh, it's a Nord. You know?
Yeah.
But that's genius, you know.
Yeah, I know another guy, Stuart, that has that kind of thing. He's got a whole system, but it looks like a badass thing because he had this wooden case made for
yeah
him.
Yeah,
aesthetics are pretty cool.
It yeah, they are.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll change the way you think about something.
Yeah. So Mrs. Glass, right? When did you start playing with them?
2 years ago.
So where you moved here, you've lived here 4 years.
Who this is the fourth with? Year, so okay. Yeah, close to 4 years now. Yeah.
Yeah, you're hanging out at the White Horse. You meet a lot of ladies there.
There are a lot of ladies
yes,
there,
my friend. I in fact had one of my most interesting interactions with ladies there. and it's not what you think it is, like a three-way or something. There was just a weird thing that happened that when I woke up the next day, I was like, I gotta be careful when I go there.
Yeah.
That place, they get you drunk.
Right.
The drinks are real strong.
Yeah.
And I know that dude, not in the face guy.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name? I don't know, but I know
like that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like sometimes, you know, I guess it's not good to talk about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I don't know, but I get drunk. So, and then a weird thing did happen. And then I thought to myself, wow, that place has a lot of stuff, like it's got its own vibe. And once you go in there, that's where you are.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah.
So, I got to clear my throat. Who's Soccer Mom?
That's a group we did with Yvonne, the bass player, and Mrs. Glass.
Okay.
Myself and his ex-wife. So that was some really good tunes.
Yeah.
That came out of there. Did you hear any of it?
I think so.
Maybe one of them?
I had them just play as I was doing this morning.
Well, they're on my website in case anyone wants to check it out or you want to check it out.
Tell us your website.
IanAFry.com.
IanAFry.com.
Yeah. That's my personal website.
Okay.
And then I got a rhythmic website. AllRhythms.com. I'm kind of building... kind of teach all the different ways of learning and understanding rhythm.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's kind of like a Wikipedia thing right now, kind of building it.
And you're kind of defining what these rhythms are?
You know, kind of like...
Okay, we're going to play a game.
Yeah, sorry. Let's do it.
I never play games on here, but I'm going to play a rhythm, and you're going to tell me what it is. Except for that, I think that my thing is broken. God damn it. This was going to be such a great gag. Oh, well. So you explain rhythms. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play a rhythm. You're going to tell me what it is.
Is it like a lumbata?
This is a Casio.
Right.
It's getting you're in the thing.
Right. I'm in the.
It was popular in the early '60s, mid '60s.
Okay, so right. Like.
One more time.
Man, I mean, is that
bossa nova?
Oh, that's a bossa nova. Yeah. Okay, it's hard. The Casios, man.
What about this? This one's gonna be a little bit more sophisticated.
Oh, yeah, that's like a bolero.
Is that what a beguine is?
Okay, so I don't know. Oh, man.
It's weird because I asked you if this was all lies, your bio. I'm joking. No, I understand. And plus, those probably aren't the actual rhythms because I wrote a song that's a tango, and I view it as a tango because I wrote it with this, with the tango setting.
Can I hear the tango on there?
Sure. This is awesome. That's a tango?
Yeah, that's a tango.
Okay, because my grandma told me it wasn't.
I
don't know what kind of tango you think you're doing.
I mean, that's like not a tango. That's a rough tango. I'm not saying that's
It's not brilliant. No, it's a Casio tango.
That's a Casio tango.
That's a good name for a band.
Yeah.
That is a great name for a band that plays tango music.
I need to study those rhythms. I mean, I've got to know my Casio rhythms.
Well, if you need a guest writer to explain rhythms, I know Casio rhythms and Omnichord rhythms. Seriously, like I write a lot with them. What do you think of, like, have you ever recorded and played with a drum machine as well as you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot?
I mean, not just record and play, but, like, play live.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for the Montreal Jazz Fest and all those shows, I was playing with the MPC. Like, I was running the MPC and playing exactly along with it. And that was an amazing experience, you know? Playing, like, just locking in with the, you know?
Yeah.
Playing in front of, like, hundreds of thousands of people. It was, like... great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the best.
Do you have to play with headphones?
Yeah.
There's that many people at the Montreal Jazz?
Yeah, there was almost 200,000. I think 180 or something like that. And then, yeah, it was amazing.
Wow, that must have been awesome.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous?
Not anymore.
Not after that.
No, not even for that. I mean, I got over some of the nerve stuff, like in school, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that, yeah, for sure.
And I bet it's different. Like, you go out and play for an audience of people.
Yeah.
Is far less intimidating than playing like four fucking music professors.
I mean, that's more of like a spiritual experience. Like, when you're with that many people, it's like,
sure,
they're looking at you, even though you're in a huge band. You're, there's like this. Yeah. There's like this. There's a physical energy that you can feel.
And you're,
you know?
And you're giving back and forth, and it,
yeah,
and it,
exactly.
And it elevates the mood. Yeah. That's why people go do that.
Yeah. And you're not like just sucking in that energy. You're like pumping it back. That's what
all those people go to fucking Blues on the Green.
Right.
They don't care how hot it is. They like want that connection.
Right.
It's amazing.
It is.
That's, we're really lucky to get to do that. Huh?
Yeah. That happened, like, you know, there's another show that was almost that big, and there was at least half a dozen other shows that were like in the 20,000 range, which is like also great.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. And, you know, playing for that many people is like, it's like, you know, that gets your shit together, you know?
Yeah.
For and sure.
So you're doing, you're also going to play with a very good friend of the show and friend of mine, P. Kellick Waddle.
That's right.
This coming Sunday, July 28th, at the Blackerby Violin Shop Recital Hall at 3 p.m., what are you guys going to do?
All of his music. I'm playing vibes on all of it, and he's an amazing composer.
He is an amazing composer.
Y'all's check's in the mail.
Kel is actually here, just hanging out.
Yeah, he's here.
That's, a show should just be a party and people hanging out. So tell me about it. What? How long is the show? What's it going to be? It's a big deal happening.
Okay. This is the next, and I have a four series I run under the PK Productions umbrella, and one of them is entitled The Whatever, or Whatever Group, according to PKW, which is, we do a whole concert of music I wrote that features a specific instrument or a specific group of instruments. And so this show is called The Vibraphone, according to PKW, that we are doing all kinds of chamber music. I guess it'll be a little bit over an hour with no intermission of vibraphone music. There are three pieces on there that are quote-unquote old that I'm happy to be doing them again with Ian. There is the first piece that I ever wrote me and him to play that we did on a Soundbridge Project concert back last fall. And then there are two big pieces that I specifically wrote for this concert. Flute, vibraphone, bass, and piano quartet, and harp, vibraphone, bass, and piano quartet that we're very excited about. So, yeah, I'm looking very, very forward to this.
Yeah.
All this music, all the new music I wrote about, I don't know, early July to late, I mean, early June to late June. And so, yeah, I'm very, very excited. We had the first rehearsal yesterday. Ian is doing a spectacular job. I was very excited to keep writing stuff for him, so.
Nice.
Yes, so we're very excited.
Do you write too, Ian?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's that stuff like?
Did you send
it to me? And I just didn't, I don't know which one.
Yeah.
There was one that seemed like it featured tabla, and you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I didn't write that one. That was with the guy in So Percussion that I was telling you about. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I like that piece a lot. A lot of the pieces I write are more like, you know, like for like bands and stuff like that, you know, so like some of the Soccer Mom stuff, you know, kind of with a group.
Right.
Kind of like popular music influenced.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, what do you, at popular music, what do you get into in pop?
I guess like, I mean, I just like, I love the Beastie Boys so much, you know, that anything that's like has that influence of like anything from like James Brown or anything from Motown.
Have you like Black Keys?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm not really that versed in their music.
Right. But they have that influence.
Yeah, for sure. Soul music, anything like that vibe, like chordally simple, but, you know, still.
But you're not like a Beatles guy or
the Beatles. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I can write songs anything near like that would be great.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that, you know.
Yeah. But do you write, what do you write on when you write an instrument?
Sometimes on the guitar, a lot of times on keyboards, mm-hmm. like, you know, the keys.
Do you guys have pianos?
Just a Rhodes. I just
have a Rhodes. Do you have a piano?
Yeah, I have piano and a keyboard.
Okay.
I'm hoping that if I get to move to a much larger place, believe it or not, I am going to be indulgent enough, not anything super fancy, that I'm going to have two pianos. Ooh.
That's great. That's a good idea. Do you have, do you record these songs when you write them?
Yeah.
Like, what do? You have a computer set up?
I have a computer set up. I have a really nice, like, two just PM1000, like the Yamahas, you know, from an old board.
And so you know recording? Perfect. Did you
study a little bit? I learned from my friend Yvonne, the guy in the Mrs. Glass and stuff. He's like an amazing engineer, producer. So I just learned what I can from him.
Huh.
Still learning, obviously.
And so Mrs. Glass, they can see at the White Horse?
Yeah.
Tuesdays?
At the next two Tuesdays,
two Tuesdays.
And then there's...
Blackheart.
The Blackheart every Thursday.
What time?
That's at 10 o'clock.
What time is White Horse?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
There's also a date in September on a Saturday, I believe.
Okay.
And there's...
Well, they can look it up. Do you have links on your Ian A. Fry?
Yes. I have all the vents on there. Okay. And then, you know, Mrs. Glass is on the I was going to say MySpace. I think it is there.
People just laugh when people say MySpace. Now. It's like the punchline.
It's a great punchline. They're all revamped.
Somebody sent me a Skyrocket thing for the band Skyrocket. They sent me an email and said your MySpace hasn't been like used, like a fan, like, you know, it hasn't been updated. I go to it all, and I was like, I forgot we had one. Yeah. I didn't even realize we had one.
They're all still up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Mrs. Glass is on Facebook. Okay. You can go straight there by obviously Facebook, or you mrsglassmusic.com.
Okay.
Go straight there.
So. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is there anything else I'm missing? Because this is a hard-hitting question.
About me?
Yeah.
I
mean, I'm sure I'm missing a lot of stuff, but do you feel like we've exposed you?
Definitely.
For the fraud that you are.
I definitely feel exposed.
Okay. Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram? What's your favorite?
Oh, man.
I know. It gets tough. What are the classical guys into? Kel's a Facebook guy. See him on there. Yeah, never seen him on Twitter.
I've started tweeting a whole lot. I had my Twitter for like 3.5 years and didn't hardly do anything.
Okay, I'm going to start following you.
All the time.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of just link them all so that I can just do one and not deal with any. So it's all about Instagram when it comes to like photo-based stuff.
And what's your Instagram name? Can they find that on your site?
Instagram feed is in the photo feed.
Oh, that's awesome.
On the site, yeah.
What did you use? Like Squarespace or something?
No, like on the site that runs it, Verb, V-I-R-B, you know, that they just, you're able to import
that's
your
Instagram
feed.
That's great when they do that. And it's just one thing because there's a lot of different stuff always.
Yeah.
And it gets real confusing.
Yeah. So it has it there. I think I'm Ian A. Fry on there.
Okay.
You know.
And don't forget, this Sunday, July 28th, 3 p.m., the Blackerby Violin Shop Recital Hall in Austin, Texas. What part of town is that in?
On Anderson Mill, it's a little bit north.
Little north.
Lamar and 51st, but not,
it's a good,
not super.
It's good to get out of the middle of town in the middle of a Sunday, because there's probably some festival going on downtown and you won't be able to do anything. Not that that's bad. I mean, it's cool. There's all kinds of festivals, but there's so many festivals that I can't take it.
Right.
Amen.
And then I think Miss Glass is playing Sunday night at the Saxon Pub. I think it's yet to be confirmed, but... If you just look
after
out
after
the us.
After this will be our after party show.
Oh, that'll be great.
As long as, you know, Cotton says, confirms it. Sometimes it's hard to get a confirmation, you know, more than a couple of days in advance. But
you know, he's been on the show.
He's I mean, all I gotta say is thank you to him for giving us a gig. You know,
that's
Saxon.
Nice to hear. I'll tell him that.
Oh,
because he's a hard nut to crack. Luckily, I've known him for a really long time, and I know. I mean. I don't think it's bad. I'm not talking out of turn or talking shit or anything.
Yeah.
But I know that it's difficult for people that he doesn't know to get through to him.
Well, he likes us, it sounds like.
That's good. As soon as he likes you, that's awesome.
I'm psyched. I mean, you know, just to play the Saxon is awesome.
Yeah.
The people there are really cool.
Oh, the people that work there?
Work there and the people who come people there to there, watch it. Fuck, I mean, they're the real
That's
deal.
A great place.
Seriously.
I play there.
Cool.
Yeah. I even did a live one of these there. That's where I did Cotton.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Sunday, one more time, July 28th, 3 p.m., Blackberry Violin Shop Recital Hall, music by P. Kellick Waddle, friend of the show. He's been on the show. And you were saying you didn't... You were wondering where we did these shows, and when I did Kel's, we went to
South Congress Cafe. It was pouring down the rain.
Yeah, but check this out. I got a lot of complaints, not about you, but because it was the environment around our conversation was so loud that it was kind of hard to not hear everyone all around. So I've tried to bring it back into quiet spaces.
Cool.
Since then, yeah. But I liked doing it at a restaurant. I did a couple like that. Who cares? Ian Fry. IanAFry.com. There you can find links to all the things that you do. Find your Instagram. See what you're doing. Are you a pool guy?
You go swimming? I do swim, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried it. Yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
Me too. Me too. You're going to be... You like it here in Austin? You want to stay for a while?
Yeah, I'm going to be here forever.
Just keep on moving around?
And I'm gonna stay here.
No. I mean, just keep on moving around Austin every five minutes.
I know. Hopefully, this next place I'm moving in will be a while.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I like you, man. You're really.
I thank you so much.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, meeting you in this format was uncanny and really fun.
Good. Meeting you in this format was the same way.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that people just had these conversations when they met. Anyway.
It's pretty
cool.
But
they can't. There's too much stuff going on, and a phone might ring.
I'm gonna
even people I know that I've known for fucking years, even Kel, like, you know, people I've known for years and years, I learned so much about them in this format.
It's cool.
Yeah, thanks.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. And everyone go check out ianafry.com and go to the Blackberry Violin Shop Recital Hall this Sunday, July 28th, 3 p.m. Yeah, Ian Fry, man, that's Mrs. Glass. That's that song we were talking about at the beginning. It's a good. That is a sweet jam, baby. That's a good jam. It might be one of my summer jams now. I like Ian Fry, man. He's a good guy. Had a good conversation with him. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Go to that show on Sunday at the Recital Hall, the Violin Recital Hall. And I will. I'll see you guys soon. Don't forget about our live podcast, July 31st, Austin, Texas, Antones. Doors at 7, podcast recording starts at 7:30. Bands later, and then a thing. Subscribe on iTunes, follow on Twitter, like Facebook page. Me, Johnny. Now, here's some more of Ian Fry's music. Bye. Mi cumpleaños.